Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. The second half is about to begin. England-Croatia 2-2. Our provincial news director, Sarah Mills.
She's coming in on the program today.
A little bit later this hour, we'll check in with her. Of course, she tells the story when she was a young lass in England, watching her dad consumed by the English soccer team, that it would be a life of hurt. And so far, they followed through, have the English side, but it's 2-2 right now.
I don't know. There's still hope. You got half the game, maybe some injury time, 2-2.
There's as much pain for England soccer fans as there are in the fans of the team we're about to talk about, which is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Somewhat comparable.
Their disappointment comes every 2 years in Euros and World Cup. Toronto Maple Leafs is every season. Terry Koshin joins us from the Toronto Sun here on the Green Zone to talk about the hiring of Jim Hiller. Or is it Hillier, Terry, for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah, Jim Hiller. And, you know, familiar face around here, four seasons spent on Mike Babcock's staff from 2015 to 19. And, you know, I think did a fairly good job in Los Angeles. I spoke to the Kings for 3 years before he let go of the 1st of March. So it's an interesting hire. You don't want to get too carried away with the surprise factor, guys, because he wasn't on anyone's radar. I mean, he's a legit NHL coach. You know, I don't think there's any argument with that. The Kings were under his tutelage, one of the top defensive teams in the NHL. You know, what led to his downfall there was they couldn't figure a way to put a puck in the net with consistency, and that was that. So, you know, we'll see where the Leafs go with this. They needed defensive structure, you know, smart, whatever you want to call it. Do they need to make changes in the blue line? Of course they do. But, you know, Hiller seems to be the right guy to put this into place eventually.
So how is the fan base reacting?
Well, I think it's kind of like everyone else. I mean, if you we're led to believe that Peter Laviolette was quite close to being the guy before he went and was hired by the Kings last week. There was interest in Bruce Cassidy. Led to believe again, at least get permission from the Vegas Golden Knights to talk to him, but wind up going in a different direction. So the point is, you have two people who have won the Stanley Cup as coaches, and they don't wind up here. I think initially there's probably a little bit of, disappointing surprise.
We're going to put Terry on hold and try to get a little bit of a better connection there as the Leafs do hire Jim Hiller to be the head coach. He has coached the LA Kings the last couple of years. He was an assistant back in Toronto a few years ago before picking up that job with the LA Kings. But again, hasn't seen the playoff success, hasn't gotten...
His record in the regular season is really good.
It is.
Like it's very strong.
Absolutely it is. We're going to give this another go. By the way, England did just score. It's now 3-2 early in the second half, as Terry Koshin. Hopefully the cell holds up here, Terry. I am curious about this, and this has nothing to do with anything other than just inside media stuff. Is John Chyka not allowed to leave his office? I couldn't believe that a coaching hire was done on a Zoom call today. Like, you saw Laviolette get a jersey and a podium. Yeah. Mal Holter get a jersey and a podium. Ryan Craig, as Kelly McCrimmon said, out of respect for him, he's not here today because there's too many other stuff to address. We'll do it tomorrow. He'll be here tomorrow. Like, I was surprised the Toronto Maple Leafs are announcing a head coach and the availability is in a Zoom call.
Zoom call.
Yeah, I am too, until I looked into it and was told that, logistics is keeping, logistics are keeping, Hiller from making it to Toronto until next week. I think it could have been done early next week in person, but they've waited till Thursday. It's kind of leading to the draft guys coming the next night. So that's all it is.
Okay.
You know, under normal circumstances, of course, usually what would have happened is we get the release. It came around the 9 local time this morning, maybe later in the morning, and then you have something at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. If not, then the next day. But yeah, there was nothing. Yeah, it's going to be done properly next week. But like I said, it wasn't anything kind of silly that led to them doing it this way today.
Okay.
So, Terry, yeah. One of the things that, I mean, you have to admit is that this is a very coveted position. This is a Leafs. It's a original six organization. And, you know, we heard a lot of names being tossed around. And are you on some level just a bit disappointed that Patrick Waugh did not get announced today? That story just writes itself, no?
Yeah, it would have written itself, but, you know, it can be bombastic and fiery and everything else, but if it didn't last too long in the end, then how much further along are you? It would have been very interesting, to put it mildly, had Patrick Waugh been the head coach in this market, but, you know, perhaps another time. But, yeah, I know he, you know, and again, a good track record, more or less, that he's had in Colorado and the Islanders and certainly in junior hockey in the Quebec League, but... I don't know how far down the path they got with him, but yeah, it would have been rather interesting had he been here between him and the media. And you know, it's just given his history and everything, and certainly a guy that wears his heart on his sleeve. But you know, at the same time, I would imagine Jim Hiller would be as insightful, just not as fiery. And you know, looking forward to seeing what he's all about.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing. This whole offseason so far for Toronto has been a lot, I think, a lot of, okay. Like John Chyka was first going,
what?
Okay. And then Jim Hiller also came out of really nowhere. Wasn't a lot of speculation about him. And being eliminated in the first round of the playoffs has some scar tissue for Toronto Maple Leafs fans for Jim Hiller's record as a head coach. And I just go, does the offseason in these big hiring, is it underwhelming, Terry? And maybe is that a good thing?
Yeah, I don't know if it's underwhelming. Like, well, okay, if we're gonna call it underwhelming, then maybe the expectations aren't set higher than they could be. If that makes sense, right? Because that's the thing about this market. Like, I mean, the expectations are always so high, and you know whether it's us, the fan base, the team itself setting this bar so high for itself, and for the most part, it hasn't been attainable in the past, you know, X amount of years. So, you know, I don't know. Could it be an under the wire thing or however you put it? We'll see going forward. But the offseason, I mean, what a contrast, right? You go on May 4th from the Chyka hiring, which, you know, people are taken aback for the most part. Again, given some of the names that are out there. The next night they win the draft lottery. While that's happening, the Toronto Marlies are getting going on a playoff run that nobody saw coming, and now they're within one victory of the Calder Cup title, which would be their second. You hire a coach in there after 5 weeks, but I give some respect certainly for Chyka's way for making it thorough, but, you know, today was 5 weeks to the day that Berube got fired, and we're kind of all looking at each other here going, okay, let's get on with it. We get thorough and everything else, but come on. So, it's been quite a turn of events. And, you know, he gets the first trade out of the way yesterday. And on the service, they all couldn't have got more for Joseph Wall. I don't think that was really the point of it. What Artur Akhtyamov has done here in the playoffs is sort of known as be ready for some sort of shot at the NHL. And they get a younger, you know, smaller defenseman, but one who's a little more fluid with the puck. So, really, a lot has happened in the past month or so, and we're not even... We're still not at the draft. We still don't know for sure they're taking Gavin McKenna. Free agency comes next. There's lots of trade rumors, you know, about how this team is going to be reconstructed. So, yeah, it's been a busy offseason, but I'd say the next 2 weeks or so are going to be even crazier, I would imagine.
On that note, are you, like, so for me, just I'll give you a little bit of insight. I, unfortunately, have taken a great deal of joy out of Leaf Nation's pain over the years.
Okay.
So, and not from a sadistic perspective, but just like losing game 7, first round, like just those kind of runs and things like that. So I gotta admit, when Chyka got hired, I've just sort of been sitting there waiting for more craziness to happen. Is that how most Leaf fans are, like, are they just sort of sitting there going, okay, when's it coming? Something really weird that we can't even predict is going to happen because of who the general manager is. Is that a thing?
It could be, but I'll tell you what. 24 hours later, that got upset when they won the draft. Everybody was in a good mood.
That's
again.
True.
Optimism was back. So the thing about all this, guys, is that the Tiger rumors were going into that first weekend in May. The announcement comes. I think they announced it Sunday. They introduced them on Monday, and you know, all these ideas and stuff about who he is and what he did and hasn't been in a gym for 6 years and all that. 24 hours later, it's all out the window because they win the draft lottery and they're handed this gift from the hockey gods. So that type of thing really didn't have a chance to get going. And, you know, on top of that, I think the initial indication was that Berube, there's a better chance that he was going to stay. I guess we all read the tea leaves wrong in that. And that didn't make a lot of people happy because the Leafs were terrible last year, and defensively they were awful. What happens? The 9 days after the Spike is hired, he fires Berube. So now you're going in another direction that way, again, that a lot of fans probably didn't see coming. So as of right now, that feeling might be in a bit of a holding pattern. And, you know, like I said, we'll see what comes out of the draft and free agency and trades and that. But, again, not interesting what the Marlies have done. There's a little more optimism, I think, in that regard, too, with some of the youngsters like Ethan Callan and Ben Danford and a few of the other guys that come up that have been good for them. So it's turned a bit of a corner here in the past month or so. A long way to go, obviously, and it doesn't mean it's going to be good in the end, but there is a bit of a corner that's been turned in the fan base.
Only have about 30 seconds here left, Terry, but in 10 days, is Gavin McKenna the number one pick in the NHL draft?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what the indications are, and, you know, I don't think you can go wrong with him or Ivar Stenberg. They're both wingers. Stenberg might be a little more well-rounded, you know, playing in the Swedish league and all that and doing some good things with the world, but... You know, I think the stake money is on Gavin McKenna. I make some white work in Toronto.
Well, Terry, thanks so much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks, Terry.
Be well.
Yep. Thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
That is Terry Koshin, Toronto's Sun, covering the Toronto Maple Leafs. New coach Jim Hiller announced today, getting the job over Patrick Roy, Jay Woodcroft, Joe Pavelski, Dallas Eakins, and yes, they were able to interview Bruce Cassidy. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Well, was this ironic? Here's Kelly McCrimmon, general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, on John Tortorella.
He wanted people to know he wants to keep coaching, and I've let all 31 NHL teams, other 31 NHL teams, know that he's interested in continuing to coach, and if he gets that opportunity, I'd be happy for him.
So this was 30 seconds later at the same news conference, same guy, on Bruce Cassidy.
Well, we had a situation where we did grant Bruce permission to speak with another team. That didn't come to fruition, but we'll deal with that on a case-by-case basis.
30 seconds later, I was waiting for someone to go, wait, how can you have the same... You said John Tortorella, you talked to 31 teams to try to get him a job, but Bruce Cassidy's like locked in the pen until a team not in your division... comes like that. Okay. A little bit later
it's,
on.
It's insane. It really is. Like I don't know how you...
Hey, it's... they're not breaking any rules, as Gary Bettman told us.
Oh, yeah. Life goes on. Long after the thrill of living is gone. Gone.
Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Yesterday, Mark Steven joined us, Calgary Stampeders play-by-play guy. We chatted about the game, but also brought up the first 2 weeks of the CFL season and going, what are we changing the rules for? It's been an exciting first 2 weeks. It's been an exciting start to the season. Ron Podbelski, a fan, season ticket holder since 1988, is going to join us after 4 o'clock. He wrote an in-depth view of how he's feeling about all this rule changes, all these changes going into 2027. And his concerns, his thoughts on what could be, might be ahead for the Canadian Football League. And the fans that are fully embracing it, those who are wait and see, and like him, those who are disappointed and a little bit disengaged. That's coming up at 4:05 this afternoon. Also, we'll get you up to date on the World Cup. England 3, Croatia 2. In England's first match, Harry Kane has a pair of goals, just to continue on with the star-studded scoring yesterday with Mbappe, Haaland, and Messi all getting on the score sheet multiple times. Messi got a hat trick yesterday. Should have also.
That's
got
the first one in World Cup for him, right?
Yeah, it was, and should have got a red card too, but that didn't happen for the Argentine forward. But right now, Scott Roblin, a great feature on a Saskatchewan baseball player who starred for the Saskatoon Berries in Carter Beck, who's now hoping to hear his name called early in the Major League Baseball draft next month.
While the Saskatoon Berries chase their first Western Canadian Baseball League title this summer, star Carter Beck is watching from a distance.
It's obviously different, and I mean, it looks like they're having a ton of fun again.
The Carn Duff product is laser-focused, preparing for one of the biggest weeks of his life, as he gets ready to showcase his stuff in front of big league teams at the 2026 MLB Draft Combine.
It's a different busy, and it's not like in season. I mean, I've never kind of experienced this right now at this time of year. Usually I should be playing baseball games, but it's kind of a weird feeling not playing games, but just kind of getting my body ready to go.
Beck is ranked 69th overall by Baseball America for the 2026 MLB draft after a standout second season at Indiana State University, where he was named Joe Carter Baseball Player of the Year for the Missouri Valley Conference.
It was super awesome to be able to have that year. I think I said my goal going into the year and just going to be able to compete and play hard every day, and just kind of the outcomes came together real well for us. A big thing, too, is we were a losing ball team last year. I wanted to make sure we played on a winning team this year, so just doing what we needed to do to win.
Ever since his NCAA season ended with the Sycamores, Beck has been a hot commodity for major league clubs, with his all-around combination of contact hitting, power, and speed.
You start trying to figure out where you're going to get drafted, what you want to do, all those things. Kind of until the end of baseball season, I was trying to avoid it and just like, well, not avoid it, but like focus on my season, focus task at hand. We lost out on whatever Friday or Saturday, and by Monday, I had four or five different teams reach out and text just season over saying whatever. Would you like to talk or something? Kind of things along that line, and just kind of like a focus shift from season to this.
And with draft day quickly approaching, his days have been spent in the gym, on the diamond, and meeting with MLB clubs interested in using a draft pick on the center fielder.
For me, it's just, as crazy as it sounds, it's just my normal though, so like this stuff's like just kind of what I do now, it feels like. But all the conversations are obviously cool, and like when you get to go check out some places and see what's around and get invited out to their stadium or whatever and they want to show you around, I mean, it's pretty cool to see that stuff and realize like, well, really, hopefully that's 3 years away and that's what I'm doing full time.
Now ready to take the next step in his baseball career, Beck is still leaning on lessons he learned while becoming a two-time All-Star talent in Saskatoon.
At some point, you have to learn how to play every day, and the people have to figure that out in pro ball or step behind. So I think it's something that's taught me a lot. It's one huge thing that summer ball taught me is how to take care of my body. If you can't keep your body healthy, you got no chance.
Munster's Logan Hoffman holds the record as the highest drafted Saskatchewan-born player ever at 138th overall in the fifth round. Beck has a shot at setting the new standard as one of Canada's brightest prospects on the diamond.
Who knows, maybe I'll try and be the highest draft pick on Saskatchewan and never know what happens in the draft, but these kind of things are like, I put myself in a place where that can happen. So it's really cool just to be here, be there, and like out of Saskatchewan, this is, like you said, it's a pretty small grouping of people, and it's a cool opportunity.
From Saskatoon, I'm Scott Roblin.
Another great feature, Scott Roblin, our Green Zone Saskatoon sports reporter on Carter Beck. Having to miss the Saskatoon Berries season, but for a very good reason, getting ready for the combine and then next month's draft. Will he go in the first three rounds? Potentially. He's ranked that high, so it could be a new Saskatchewan mark for a Sask ball player. At the MLB draft.
Where's Ball at in Saskatchewan as far as a...
I think it's... The Blue Jays helped, right?
Yeah.
With entries and people registering. So I think it's having a second win, so to speak. And I think, you know, the Saskatoon Berries and the Regina Red Sox, As that league continues to age a little bit and becomes more of accustomed to go to the park and take the kids to the park and run the bases, they get more interested in baseball. I think about a decade ago, it was, okay, a lot of people at soccer and those types of things.
Yeah,
I think there's a
soccer flag.
Flag,
hockey,
of course.
Obviously.
Yes, spring hockey has become a bigger and bigger thing, but baseball, you look at the parks on the weekends, they're still full, although it'll be starting to wind down a little bit over the next few weeks.
Pickleball, though.
Is that where the
taking off? Yeah. Get your kids into pickleball. Grandpa can teach them.
By kids, you're talking to the 80-year-olds who have 50-year-old children?
Yeah. Exactly.
Is that what you're talking about? Get your kids into pickleball?
That's exactly how it goes. Grandpa's hauling us out for pickleball.
And Jamie and Locker with you here.
Double knee braces.
Speaking of baseball, Max Scherzer back on the injured list. Back spasms for the Toronto Blue Jays. So he was in the lineup and now out of the lineup for the Bluebirds of the Major Leagues of Baseball. Coming up next, there's 10 minutes left. England, Croatia. We should bring Sarah Mills in studio to watch the final couple of minutes of this match, you think?
I don't hate that idea.
We'll see what we can do next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOF. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Wednesday afternoon on the Green Zone.
Passion, pride, the beautiful game.
The Green Zone.
World Cup Report.
Well, I'll tell you what. About 3 minutes ago, I walked into Sarah Mills' office and said, would you enjoy watching the final 10 minutes of the match of England and Croatia live on the radio with us? And I can't repeat what she told me and where to go and how to get there. But then Marcus Rashford scored in the 85th minute, 4-2 England. So Sarah's feeling a little bit better.
Just a teeny tiny bit. It's just a tiny bit. Believe me, we don't know how to hold a lead. As you have seen during this game, I am taking this. I don't know this feeling. I don't know what it means to be two up with just a few short minutes. Anything can happen. It's England.
Croatia's playing well.
This has been my humble opinion. This has been the most enjoyable game so far of this World Cup. It is the first game that these two teams were evenly matched, where you knew anything could happen. No disrespect to the previous games. There have been surprises, Japan, Spain being held to a draw. But this on paper.
Well, Croatia is one of the top teams in the world, too. They're a top 15 team. England's four. And it's been of two of the best teams playing on the pitch today.
And if you're selling the World Cup to North Americans as a part of this is meant to do, games where it is, you know, Argentina 1-1. Going up against someone not very good, which the expansion has forced with the 48 teams, you're not getting a game like this where it's been backwards and forwards, skill, thrills, heartbreak, ups, downs. That's what you want.
The one thing that
How are you feeling about 5 minutes ago?
Hate the game. I hate being an England fan. What I wish for being an England fan is that you could go in at the start of the game and just go, this is going to be great, lads. Go on, do it. Do it for your country. Do it for the three lions on your chest. What we want from any sport team that we love. It doesn't matter the sport. That's what we're looking for. I want to enjoy watching you. Watching England is excruciating. Because you know at any second they're going to screw it up. They're going to make a mistake.
Have they, just from somebody that has watched and followed this team for as long as you have, are they doing anything different in this match? That because you talked about how they normally play and how that has kind of bit them in the behind over the years in World Cup and international action.
This has been very interesting going into this because we've got a new manager in Thomas Tuchel. Gareth Southgate, who took us to two European finals and pretty a semi-final in the World Cup, which we haven't seen since 1990. That was a hell of a run. But the criticism against that manager was, you've got some of the best in the world playing for England. Let them just run with it. Let them go at the goal.
Seems more open, right?
And this is what I have seen today, which is exciting, because as any sport fan knows, if you're going in to a tournament, to an away run or a home run, if you don't know what you're going to get, it's nerve-wracking. And there were some unknowns. Thomas Tuchel included players that many thought should be included and weren't. And on a selfish reason, the next game, fingers crossed, everything goes well, I will be there. And what I didn't want is a loss, even a draw, that I'm going to watch. Because as I said to Jamie off air, do you think I'd be enjoying it surrounded by 60,000 fans?
What game are you going to?
I'm going to Ghana.
Okay.
But will I be? I've watched. The camera is panning on Croatians and English fans, and they're dancing and they're having a good time and kids are waving and painted faces. Will I be like that, or will I be like I am at work in excruciating, this is not going to go my way?
I said to Sarah, no, you'll be the fan when it's a draw against Ghana 1-1 late. You'll be the fan who's like clenching the fingernails that they show on television.
But, you know, if they win on Tuesday next week, which would be, you know, so I hope it's just an enjoyable once in a lifetime memory with my dad.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to have fun because watching the Congo fans,
they were Ghana, fantastic.
The African fans,
I think Ghana's
they get into it, and they're dancing, they're singing, like it seems like it'll be
an atmosphere. It's going to be an atmosphere. It's going to be lots of fun. But now this is something as a soccer fan. I disagree with what FIFA did, which they introduced in the last World Cup, where you have this. You used to have the added time, which is really injury time, because it's continuous play. Now it's been extended to ensure fans get the 45 minutes. And some of the additions have been 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. That if you're winning or if you're only one goal up, that is painful to have to sit through.
Well, there's Sarah Mills. Very happy for now with 4 minutes left, Sarah
Mills.
Yeah,
there's still 4 minutes. Anything can happen. Do an England fan.
That is true. But England leads 4-2. And, of course, tomorrow in Vancouver, a huge match for the Canadian side against Qatar. A win would mean that final match against Switzerland will be for top of Group B.
Someone put a recording of you two while watching the game. You've done it to me enough times.
There's cameras in the studio. By the way, I want video of Sarah dancing right before she came on the air with us. At 4 o'clock, it's 4 to 6 tomorrow for Canada. We will.
You need to record yourselves like you have put me through for the listeners' entertainment and enjoyment.
For the last 20 some years.
Jamie and I have been friends over 20 years. He has never seen me dance at an England.
No, I've seen utter devastation, though. 2010, never forget that one.